Well, let's open our Bibles. And I always love to say that. I pray that we'll never, ever get tired of saying that. But let's open our Bibles tonight. Going back into James, we're in the fourth chapter. And we'll just go ahead and begin reading, and we'll go ahead and read the first 10 verses. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now that's some wonderful stuff. And James just keeps building upon itself and building upon itself. And I'm so grateful to God tonight, brothers and sisters, that we can, by the grace of God, live a testimony. And a testimony of the love of God. And that love, praise God, that causes us to believe the Word. And as we believe the Word works effectually in us. And when the Word is working effectually in us, brothers and sisters, oh my, the fruit that is produced. And that's what it is. And the fruit is there, and the evidence will always be there. I was thankful that the Lord had a man speak to my youngest just yesterday. And I appreciated what he was saying as an educator about just the little talents that these young people have. And he was just a very sweet Christian man and encouraging my son that allow the Lord to have that talent that he's given you. Allow the Lord to be magnified, son, in everything that you do. As people take note of you in the things that maybe God has allowed you or given you to do, glorify God in it. Do it heartily unto the Lord. It took me immediately to the sweet tabernacle in the wilderness, how God specifically had the men and the women for the job, and how God specifically had them with that talent building the tabernacle of God. Now, how much more is he building in us, brothers and sisters, and what we bring into, by God's grace, that city someday, that city adorned, that will descend having the glory of God. Isn't that amazing? He's going to put us into that. Praise his name. The light of it. That's him. And the glory, praise God, she's got it. So let's do rejoice in it. But getting back here in verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Well, I'll tell you what, it's not coming from the new man, is it? Isn't that who you are? What's up? We start acting like this, causing warring and fussing, anxiety, the wrestling, the unrest. And I'll tell you what, it's really even speaking about here, even unrest that's in the body. See, brothers and sisters, we're affected one of another. We're tightly fit. We're compacted. It's not just, you know, I have sympathy. It's more than even empathy, brothers and sisters. We are made one in Christ. Do we understand this? And I would hope that if we ever feel that, well, we're just turning away and I don't care, well, I don't know if, I shouldn't even say I don't know. Where is that agape love? Where is the divine love? You call yourself a bridal saint. You can say you're running for God's best. But does not a bridal saint truly love as Jesus Christ loves? Really think about that. Will Christ turn himself from you? Would he not be there? That's Christ in you. I hope you understand that. I'm not asking for a good work. You don't have one. But you have Christ in you, so you've got it all. And this is what this is about, brothers and sisters, is taking our place in that wonderful body that God has placed us into. But again, this is speaking very paramountly on the body. And what affects it? What's the warring? What's the unrest that we would have? It's lust. And that goes back to the first chapter 15 and 16. It told us there very clearly that the mother of all sin, the one who conceives all the sin in our life, the wickedness, the unbelief, everything that you could list, is lust. Lust. That's where it comes from. The moment we turn to our self wants, the moment we turn to our self desires, the moment we turn to our self determination, here comes the war. Here comes the war. And brothers and sisters, this isn't talking about the war of fighting the good fight of faith. It's talking about the warring within us. It's talking about the warring that also comes into the body where we start fussing and fighting, the divisions that come up. And God help us. Seek the unity of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. We're not here to drive our own personal interests. That's the one thing I'm so thankful about this meeting. And the pastor that we've had for years and years and years, I'm so grateful to God. The Lord protects this place. But the Lord gave us a pastor, and I pray for that same Spirit to protect by God's grace, that only the word of his grace be preached. That's it. I have people sending us literature all the time, phone calls. Well, would you like us to come in here and do a seminar on this or this on a that and a whatever? But nothing about the word of God, about things that are affecting the planet. I mean, they want to come in here and preach the environment to you. And I always tell them, I said, well, I'm going to get a new heaven and a new earth. They think I'm being smarty. I'm telling them the truth. We can get caught up in a lot of things, brothers and sisters. He told us to get caught up into one thing. Praise God. Praise God. It's the Word. It is the Word. And so grateful to him that he's planting this in us. But one thing that even the Lord had me impress upon my children this week. I don't know why it was so strongly convicted to my heart, but just to maybe as one's going into high school and the other one's finished 2 years, now he's going to be a junior. I said, you know, maybe the one thing I'd tell you was the greatest moment of my life was when I really received the grace to understand that this life is not all about me. And I mean that, brothers and sisters, it's not about us. And I said, how beautiful life became at that moment. And I'm being very sincere about that. And I can tell you divinely, I mean, it was coming and coming, but where it really hit me, age 33, I remember it very well. And the Lord told me, son, do you want to fall in love with my word? He'd proposed to me at 17. I knew that there was a run for the bride, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But then there was a moment of embracing the word, that it became everything. Now, that wasn't the end all. That was just the beginning, another door that he had opened and said, son, come on in here, let me show you this place. And how wonderful. And brothers and sisters, it is not about my thoughts. It's not about my feelings. It's not about my perceptions. It's all about the Word of God. And that's what binds us. That's what gives us that wonderful unity, because only the Spirit, and the only thing the Spirit does is take the things of Christ, the things of Christ, nothing else, and makes them ours. So, yes, we are called to a precious fight, and that is the good fight of faith. But the moment that we turn to our self-will, it's like, as I mentioned earlier, the hands of Moses going down. We turn over to maybe unbelief, tiring. The battle swings to the side of the enemy. And here's what comes, verse 2 and 3. As we read there, ye lust and ye have not. Think about that. And that's what man does. That's what all man can do. That's all that our old man can do is lust. And look what lust brings. Every single time, brothers and sisters, it's a big nothing. It's a zero. It's a spiritual death if we go after self-promotion. Promoting self, always bringing self out in front. And that can come in a lot of different ways. And the Lord in the Word of God hits it over and over and over. Whether it's through example, whether it's through His Word directly, He speaks of this all the time because He knows what a weak creature we are. The moment that we hit adversity, if we don't look to the Word of God, we'll look to self. Self-denial, self-pity, self-whatever it is, it's self. And that's completely apart. It is completely apart from who we are in Christ. And that's the thing that He's bringing so clearly to our hearts in this study in James. Yielding to self will never be satisfied. Brothers and sisters, lust is a craving that can never be satisfied. Lust only can replace itself with more lust. Sin begat sin. Lust will begat more lust. Go ahead and read Romans 1. Apart from God, that's where we go. But for the grace of God, there go I. Brothers and sisters, we need to know this. But yet, praise His name, we know that He is for us. But also recognize, I've heard people say, well, that person's more prone to being an addict. They're impulsive. You know, they're more given over to being addicted to something. Let me tell you something. The devil's got an addiction for each and every one of us if you go with it. Know it. Apart from God, you're addicted to something. Don't think that you're above it. Well, I've never drank and I've never smoked. I didn't do drugs. Well, you're already addicted to yourself if you're not giving the glory to God anyways. Do you see? And that's a lesson, I'll tell you what, it's a valuable one to learn, but you're going to learn something. You're going to learn something very hard relying upon yourself. And God help us to grow up. But if we dwell outside the perfect will of God, the devil is always there to give us an insatiable appetite for lust. And always there until we turn to God. Matthew 7:7. Tells us, ask and it shall be given. Isn't that wonderful? The Word of God always goes through and talks about ask, believing. If we have a need, go boldly to the throne of grace. So if we're still consumed with evil, brothers and sisters, and I'm talking about the evil of lust. A lot of people will try to disguise their lusts as things that are okay just because the world validates those lusts. It's not the things that we think that are ugly or things that are hurtful or harmful. Anything that draws us away from the Word of God is harmful. Know that. When we settle, brothers and sisters, for error in doctrine, you're lusting after an itching ear, something easier for your life. I'm seeing in today more and more Christians that have been given the full counsel of God. They're not standing much anymore. They're running and not running for a prize. They're running away. You stand and face the storm. You do. Praise God. Be valiant in battle. Endure the hardness as a good soldier. We're almost home. I just turned 45 yesterday. Cut it any way I like by God's grace. I got to be halfway there. And that first 45 years went like that. I'm going to blink and someday I'm going to be face to face with Him sooner or later anyways. Amen? Come on, and you all know, those that are older than I am, how quickly it goes. I'm not looking for any gusto here. Done a lot of neat things and they're awesome. But nothing is even worthy to be compared, even uttered, mentioned, thought of, and compared to what glory awaits. Praise His name. So let's be thankful. Let's be mindful of that. And by God's grace, allow this love to grow that, again, this James godly testimony we're talking about here, that I would care enough for you that I would want to live Christ in me. You know what I'm saying? That's bridal love, brothers and sisters. And I don't have that naturally, and neither do you. But God is ready to give it to us. He wants nothing more than us to have it. That for me to win God's best means just as much for me to win Him as you. Meaning my thoughts for you, brothers and sisters. And not just as a pastor. This is the bridal love. This isn't just something, well, you're a teacher or you have a place in the church. You have a place in the church. And I'm not talking about Living Waters Tabernacle. I'm talking about the spotless church. Praise His name. The glorious church. Come on now. Let's know what we're talking about here. I'm not talking about the rudiments of this world and this earth. I'm talking about our heavenly provision. But brothers and sisters, it says in the Word of God that we don't need to be consumed with these evil things. And if we're consumed with evil things, it's obvious here that we're not asking, as the Word tells us, ask and it shall be given. We read in the Word of God that He is our ever-present help in a time of need, isn't it? That we always, having all sufficiency in all things, superabound. I like the Greek, to every good work. That He's always there. That He never leaves nor forsakes. That is, the psalmster said, if I make my bed in hell, He's there with me. So ask. And we don't ask amiss. And that word amiss is an evil asking. And you know what evil asking is? When you don't believe. Don't mock God. We don't just recite things. We don't just say, well, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God. I believe Him. We were praying down here Sunday. I believe there was a lot of faith. Praise God. I am the Lord thy God who healeth thee. I'm your healer. Isn't that wonderful? Do you live that every day? By His grace, I do. How many things I need to be healed from moment by moment? Things that come at us, brothers and sisters. And the healing of a heart so this tongue can have comely speech. That it wouldn't be quick to just be wicked and quick to give a whip back right to you as you whip me. See, this is truly when Christ in me comes forward and can turn the other cheek and can offer a cup of cold water and actually do good unto them that despitefully use me. Huh? Are you happy in your sufferings tonight? Are you? If you're happy tonight in your sufferings, you're suffering for Christ's sake. Isn't that a treasure? Isn't that awesome to know? Barometers over and over and over throughout the Word of God. You see how sincere He wants you to be? What He's saying is, I know you. I know you. You don't know you, but I do. And here I am. Read about you. Read about you. Search. This searches your heart. This exposes everything that's there. And praise God, it puts in everything that we need. You understand? Praise the Lord. And what He is, He's not exposing sin, fault, and those types of things where people want to dwell on that type of deal. He's saying, look it, I've given you a heart for me. Run and run well. All right. So we ask believing, brothers and sisters. And in that, we know that He's in that. But it's not believing in that He's going to grant us something that is outside of the will of God. But that the Word works effectually in them that believe. And as we rejoiced last week in the Word of God, the wisdom from above. And those were the eight glories of bridal evidence of the Word working effectually. And what that really comes down to, brothers and sisters, is the Holy Spirit. And in Romans 8:26, it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Praise His name. I'm coming to the point more and more, Lord, I don't even know, in a sense, how to pray as I ought. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And He just takes over. And the groanings that come forth and the utterings, praise God, that He does in me. And it's marvelous. And again, there's one thing for certain. The Holy Spirit will only take the things of Christ, the Word, and make them ours. See, praying in the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, it can be speaking in tongues. But I don't want us to just get locked into that. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, you're praying in the perfect love. It's perfect love. And perfect love casts out all fear. When we have the Holy Spirit, when we're full of the Holy Ghost, giving our lives over into that, praise God, and He takes the reins, we know that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. And in perfect love comes perfect faith. We believe Him, faith which worketh by love. And the effectual results of believing the Word of God, we actually pray according to the perfect will of God. Isn't that marvelous? That's how bold we can be. That's how bold we can be. Have thine own way. Thy will be done. Praise His name. God knows, doesn't He? And Lord, You know the way I take. You know the desires in my heart. But by the grace of God, place Your desire. And Your desire is, Father, Thy will be done. He taught us, didn't He? Praise His name. But you understand very clearly, this isn't something that we could promote, that we could do. But praise God, it is. It's supernatural, brothers and sisters. It is. It's the new man. It's not from here. Oftentimes it will feel very odd because there is this wondrous new man in this flesh. Praise God for faith that we can believe Him. And even in spite of sensations that we have in flesh, that Spirit is willing. That Spirit is always willing. And Christ in me can do all things. All things, because that's the strength, Christ in me. All right. Well, then we see in verse 4, God and mammon cannot both be served. And on the highest level, as it goes on here in verse 4, we cannot profess to be residing as a readied wife if we're married to this world. We've heard it many times in this place. What has you? Are we distracted in our walk? Then our mind is not set upon Him. Tend upon Him without distraction. I guess in the simplicity of it all, I'm thankful for God. And again, looking at people that have loving marriages. And then looking at the young ones that are getting ready to get married and the courtship that's going on. And you talk to them and they don't even know what you're saying because their eyes are just so affixed on their love. And it's okay. And you kind of smile and you go, I remember that. Huh? But it's glorious. I know it can't be compared. But in many ways, that's the best we have. Because that's what God ordained. And that's what God gave us. And it's so wonderful to see God's working and God's type in a marriage. But brothers and sisters, it's very clearly as it's saying here. I mean, the adulterers and adulteresses, this is talking about our relationship with the Lord. He's after you. This is talking to Christians. This is speaking to men and women that love God. But He's a jealous lover, isn't He? And He's not only looking that all men be saved, but come to the intimate knowledge of the truth, of the word of Jesus Christ. He wants a marriage. That's what this age is about. This is what this plan is. This is what he's pressing for. He's proposing over and over, isn't he, brothers and sisters? The times that my heart hurts the most is when I knew that I turned from that proposal. The time that my heart leaps the most is when I know by his grace I'm receiving the grace to submit to the proposal. You know? So this is where he comes at us. But brothers and sisters, married to the world is just plain out adultery. Christ's bride is a chaste virgin to him. She is shut up to him. She went out from the camp a long time ago. And what's going on in the church today is there's a compromise. The compromise is the leavening that's going on in the message that's coming forth. The pulpits, as we've heard many times before, preaching good God, good devil, good everybody. The kingdom age message is putting the church to sleep. It's rampant. I get emails from time to time from people that know better of kingdom preaching. God help us. Don't let the little foxes spoil the vine. By God's grace, stand. Be readied. Put on the whole armor of God. Even if I be otherwise minded, he will make that known. But stand on the word. Stand on this glorious word. And don't get tired in the fight. I hope you get more feisty in the fight. Not belligerent, but more madly in love. To stand, withstand, and having done all, stand. Let him speak to you. Let him tell you how thankful he is for you receiving the grace. Do you hear his words to you? Huh? Do you hear him call out, "My beloved is mine"? Come away, come away, my love, my fair one. Huh? Let him speak to you daily. He glories in your love for him. Know that. This isn't just one way. By God's grace, he's seeking. He's searching for the true worshiper. Remember what worship means? To draw nigh in fervent love is to kiss. To draw nigh in fervent love is to kiss. The true worshiper who worships me in spirit and in truth. Praise his name. You talk about a lot of love. He's looking for the one who's going to draw nigh in fervent love to kiss him. Who worships him like that with the Holy Spirit. Who takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in your heart. And in truth. And the only thing I ever read in this truth is love, love, love. You talk about love. Praise his name. All right. But brothers and sisters, may we press on. Verse 5 is a warning to all of us that our flesh is weak. Our old man lusts to envy. It's his thing. Coveting every worldly impulse. And as I mentioned earlier, don't let a one of us think that we're above this. But for the grace of God, there go I. The enemy is always on the job. I don't get concerned with him because I know that my Lord has to say, "Take note of my servant." And then after he says, "Take note of my servant," he's got to lift that hedge. And he's got to lift that hedge specifically for whatever he allows the enemy to tempt me with. All right? So I know that he knows the way I take. I know that he knows the before ordained good works that I should walk therein. Because he made each and every step. He saw it. And he walked it for me. He did. Praise his name. So it's all laid out for us, brothers and sisters. God just says, trust me, trust me, trust me. But know this, grace keeps every one of us. Grace keeps every one of us. The only reason that we don't go the way of lust, brothers and sisters, is because of the grace of God. There is no good thing in any one of us. No man followeth after God. He must be called and drawn of God. God must even open our hearts to receive anything from Him. But praise be to God, that's just exactly what He wants to do. He's just searching for a willing heart. He merely realizes and confesses the need for the grace of God to make it happen. Do you realize that? Just to realize the need for the grace of God. And it'll happen. He'll bring it to you. He'll open that heart. He'll let you believe. He's all wisdom. Praise God. He's been made everything to us. Every need that we have, every inadequacy that we at least know about, every shortcoming, He's right there. He knew, He made you exactly as you needed to be made, so that you would come boldly to the throne of grace to say, Lord, I need you. I need you. Praise God. This is your work. And here it is, verse 6. It's all grace. It's all grace. Let's read it again. But He giveth more grace. See, you think you've received some grace? Yeah, He's got more. You think you just got a big drink of grace? Oh, He's got more. Brother Ray used to say all the time so sweetly, it's like drinking from a fire hydrant. Praise His name. He giveth grace. There's no limit to it. It's grace for grace. It's grace upon grace. It's infinite, exceeding grace. It's so much grace that we are without excuse. Huh? So let's not get mad at each other when in love we come up. God's still on the throne. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He loves you. You're more than a conqueror. And don't just say, yeah, I know. How about, yeah, I'm so thankful. I'm not feeling like it right now. I'm pretty heavy. But He promised me He wouldn't test me beyond what I could bear. And plus, anyways, I couldn't bear a thing anyways. He's got it all. Praise His name. But see, brothers and sisters, this grace, the proud don't get it. Proud don't get it. The proud can't receive grace. Did you know that? A proud Christian refuses grace. Grace still keeps him in that same wonderful standing. He's still a child of the King. But oh my, the state. The state of not receiving the grace of God. Isn't that awful? Because why? Because we know that there's one way we grow. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's full of grace. So there's the more grace. It's grace for grace, grace upon grace. Amen, amen, amen. So it is the grace of God. And that's why we're here. And again, being prideful, you will not receive it. Let's go over to 1 Peter and read from chapter 5, and we'll read verse 5. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God, listen to this, resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Resisteth means battles. So listen to that. That word means battles. So what it would say there is that God battles with the proud. There's a battle going on. You know what he's battling with you? Receive my grace. Think how silly that sounds, that we would want to not receive the grace of God. But that's old man. That's flesh. Yeah. That's that old man. He don't want to have anything to do with it. Brothers and sisters, we need to receive the grace of God. See, I don't want to battle against God. That doesn't even sound good. And it's not good. It's kind of like when your kids are at home and, you know, they want to start battling you. But how much more we don't want to come up against our Heavenly Father. And God won't be mocked. He's called you to a great calling. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know how important you are to Him? Huh? I remember in business, there were some people that had a lot of money. And a lot of money invested in sometimes even one thing. And let me tell you something. They looked after that one thing. They were very protective of that one thing. You didn't mess with that. And if you messed with that, there was a problem. Well, I'm talking about God the Father. He has invested everything in us. Everything. He's after you. You're marked. Just even as a child of God, you're marked. But just think how much He's invested in that heart, that He's opened up the depth of the mystery of Christ. Sending that Eliezer to the well. The mission to find my son a wife. I mean, that was it. That was the big thing. Especially back then. Isaac was going to have that bride. And Eliezer sent the best. I mean, his father sent the best. He sent Eliezer. And he told him exactly how it would be. God help us to respond. God help us to respond. Now, so we humble ourselves and we receive grace. Being good, thinking you have good intentions, that's just filthy rags. May God help us to really realize that He is God and that He is rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And I put here, and Him's the word of grace. He's the word. So in verse 7, as we go on here, there's such a key order in this. And let's go back and read this and listen to that sweetness here in verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I like that. Isn't that wonderful? Submit, and then resist. You know, so many try to go about this the other way. Well, I'm going to go ahead and resist the devil. I'm going to do it in my own strength. I'm going to do it in my own power. Every single one of us have tried to do that with something in our lives. And maybe we're still trying to do that with something in our lives right now. And that's the reason that that something in our lives is still in our lives right now. Is because I'm trying to resist in my own strength. And the only way that I can ever resist the devil is to first submit to God. I'm grateful to the Lord for my mother. I've told you many times. She did not raise me, son, you do this, you don't do that, don't do this, watch out for that. She said, fall in love with Jesus. Also known as submit to God. Just fall in love with Him. And there's a conviction. And I'm looking at young people, I'm looking at middle age, I'm looking at some older ones. And we all know when you submit to God, when you love the Lord, my goodness, what conviction does. And it's quick and it's mighty, it's powerful. You try to do things, but the new man is strengthened. Praise the Lord. Takes over. Nah, we're not doing that. I can't do that. Amazing when the Lord allows us to get into those places. And don't you praise Him for it? Don't you thank Him? And how many different phases of our lives that we've come. Whether it was when we were young people, maybe doing something ornery, whether it was setting something on fire, huh? Or going to, oh, I'm telling mom and dad I'm going over here, and here I am going over here to drink or to do this. And by the time you pulled up to that house where the party was, you were so sick you're ready to throw up. Maybe you didn't take the conviction and you actually drank and then did throw up. And then the Lord convicted you after that, huh? He still's there, isn't he? He's always there. Always there. And then as we get older and we knew we did the right thing and we acted in great principle and we knew we were being directed to the love of God. And yet they still threw the bucket of water on you. Still just slapped you in the face. And then finally, God came in and you weren't hard. And it actually broke your heart. You say, Lord, don't let it be like this. Huh? That's good stuff. Making us the people we could never be. But growing us up into the man of God we are. See, that's the beautiful thing. We just be patient in that. God is so wondrously molding and shaping. If we just be still. Now, submitting to God receives grace. And grace is the power and strength and victory for everything in our lives. Grace is the working of God. Grace fights our battles. Grace builds us up. Grace encourages us on. Grace is even the fuel to finish with joy. And yes, grace is everything. Grace sets you against the devil. The devil can't stand against grace. Matter of fact, the devil has to flee the very presence of grace. He can't penetrate it. He can't even remotely come up against it. It's the protection for everything in our lives. I'm just looking at the grace of God that's just blanketing this meeting right now. I'm so grateful for the grace of God. The devil had to flee. He's not even present. Do you realize how you're kept? Do you realize the only thing that you're kept in? Grace. You can see that old enemy just devising how he's going to get to you. God showed him something. Oh, a weakness in your life. Oh, I've got just the one to give that brother or that sister the whammy. Got it already ready to pour it out. The shield of grace. And he's just like a vapor. He's gone. He's gone. Do you realize that? It is grace. Oh my. God draws into it. And that's verse 8, brothers and sisters. Because grace draws us nigh to him. See, we cannot draw nigh to God with anything else. Do you realize that? You can't. You cannot draw nigh to God without the blood. You can't draw nigh to God and have... Now, what we're talking about here, you're already a child. But we're talking about fellowship with God. God will only fellowship with grace. It's grace. We need to receive the grace of God to fellowship with him. If I try to fellowship him with my filthy works of righteousness, here's my good deeds, look at all of this that I've done. He's not going to fellowship with that. He's sad for his son. But the problem is he's still in the kingdom and I'm the prodigal way out somewhere wandering in the world. Know this. Know this, brothers and sisters. Let's receive this. See, the Lord God draws us nigh to Him with grace. That we know that, Lord, it's all because of Your Son's life in us that does it. It's all because of the saving power of the blood that cleanses us. And even the power of the blood that draws us. So boldly we go in because of grace. And going in boldly because of grace gives Him praise. And we thank Him in that. And we love Him in that. And we say, Lord, it's all because of Your Son. And this is speaking, brothers and sisters, of the fellowship. Because just as the prodigal son, the dad never moved. The dad always loved him. But the son had to go back into the kingdom for the fellowship. The father was not going to fellowship outside of the kingdom. That's where he's at. He's there. Go boldly to the throne of grace. Huh? Come on now. Go in there. Goes on to say, sinners' hands need to be cleansed. I think of how gracious the Lord is. He's still calling out, isn't he? Praise the Lord. He's thinking of those unbelievers. The sinner's hands has to be clean. Pilate in Matthew 27, 24, he thought he could wash his hands. Remember he said, I'm washing my hands of this? He did what man thought was worthy and just. He was a fair guy. Let me tell you something. He wasn't cleansed. Because only the blood could cleanse him. Just like you and me. And then to us, brothers and sisters, it says that we would purify our hearts. Ye double-minded brethren. He doesn't want us to be double-minded. He wants us to be pure and sincere in our worship, in our conscience before God. That we don't just come in and are Christians for an hour and a half or 2 hours on a Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. That by God's grace, we are a chaste virgin to Him. That we are in tune, praise God, to a bridegroom. That we are living those love letters of Christ in me, the hope of glory. So praise God that we can have this conscience before Him. That we can remember the only pure thing is the Word of God. It's the cure-all for everything. And what He's asking us is to believe it, to receive it, and to take the correction. Take correction. Believe it or not, we're not perfect yet. Not yet. We're growing into that perfect man. We haven't apprehended Him as of yet. We're apprehending, as Brother Paul said. Oh, I pray. But let the Word work effectually in us. And we'll close here with 9 and 10. Because this is the healing. And the healing of 9 and 10 is something that I hope we all pay attention to tonight. Let the chastening happen. Let it happen in you. And I believe that the chastening really happens in us, brothers and sisters, when we can really come before the Lord and even come before a brother or sister in Christ and say, I was wrong. I was wrong. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. Heal me. Let Him deal with you as a son. Receive the correction of the Father. May we let Him search us, willing Him to be allowed to do the work and to work things out in our life in sincerity. I think so often I ran from things and didn't want to face them. It was more convenient. It was easier. But the problem was, as He said, son, face the battle now. That war gets pretty heavy later on. It's amazing how we're taught these things. And I want to be quick to believe. I want to be quick to believe, first and foremost, to please my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I do want to be quick to believe because it bonds me with Him so sweetly. But the evidence, brothers and sisters, of this chastening is when we really have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. There will be tears, brothers. Usually the sisters don't have a hard time crying. But us brothers, there will be tears. And the Lord is evident in that. Tears of sorrow and repentance and true conviction. Not tears of self-pity. But Lord, I'm wrong and my heart is sick and I need you. I need your healing grace and I need to receive this. No matter the shame. No matter the shame. And see, sometimes we sit in these pews for many years. God help us, but we begin to think that we're something. I'm talking about something in ourselves. You're everything to Christ. Don't get me wrong. But somehow, because we've been here so many years and I've got so many notches of attendance, or I've read through the Bible, 1,500 times, somehow I can't be shamed like that. Take all the shame you can get. Take it all. Are you willing? Brothers and sisters, the greatest thing that we can do is to get low, lowly, of no reputation. I'm glad you love me. I'm so thankful you love me. And I want you to, again, love me and esteem the Lord in me as I esteem the Lord in you. But I'm so grateful to God. I'm just a pastor of Living Waters Tabernacle. And this is His meeting. And this is His church. It's so wonderful. To be made of no reputation. That was our Lord. You think of that. Think of what we try to be, huh? Huh? Come on. Let Him work. Let Him work it all out. All out. Glory in Him alone. In Him alone. Let Him do it. But brothers and sisters, let's be willing to be shamed, the change, the embarrassment that might have to come. To say, God, have your way. And how about ready me for the rapture? Humble yourself, we're reminded over and over. And brothers and sisters, why wouldn't we be humble in everything and in all things? Because of the cross and that undeserved ultimate work of love. Think about that. How amazing that work upon the cross. What He did. What He became. All those steps down. I'll tell you what. We put that before us. And treasure that, you'll be humble in everything. You will. The moment that that pride wants to rise up, that self wants to come out, say, oh Lord, the work on the cross, just put it all right in perspective. But He's speaking to us tonight and to everyone. The humbleness is an ongoing process. And humble vessels are tender. They're tender. We don't want to reside in our past wrongs. We don't want to harbor past mistreatments. See, if I harbor a past mistreatment, I'm speaking from experience. And I was hung up some years in this. That I know that I didn't deserve that. But if I'm hung up in that, that's not a humbled place in my life. And as we talked about earlier, if I'm not happy in the trial or this tribulation, if there's a hardness in it, then I'm not suffering for Christ's sake. I'm not. Now, I'm not talking about for the moment the trial's not joyous. You see what I'm saying there is that, you know, sometimes, oftentimes trials hurt. They don't feel real good. I understand that. When we say so long to loved ones, lots of different things. Let me tell you something. My heart's heavy, broken. But I'm talking about the underlying faith in love. That the grace of God, I know whom I've believed. And especially, brothers and sisters, when we are mocked for His sake, when we are despised for His sake, and I'm not talking you were out there being belligerent self, I'm talking truly by His grace, you were trying to make peace. You were allowing the Lord to speak through you. And bam. And even if it was another Christian, by God's grace, happy are ye. There's a contentment, brothers and sisters. You're standing and withstanding and having done all to stand. There's a treasure in it. Know it. So in that, brothers and sisters, God help us to be tender. God help us not to clobber someone when they've wronged us. Because that's not the humble. That's the hardened. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the testimony lives. Christ lives in you. Christ lives in you, and that's it. You're a Christian here today. Christ liveth in me. Now let Him reign. Let Him reign in us, brothers and sisters. He's doing a wonderful reigning. There's wonderful things. There's a transformation, even in this sweet little body that we have here going on. But let Him just keep pouring it on. Let's not draw back. Let's not be complacent. Let's not slumber. What do you say? Finish with a full joy. Loving His appearing, looking for Him. It's His work. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank You and appreciate Your fellowship with us. Lord, help us to respond to Your word. God, these are things that sometimes we would want to be a little bit complacent about. Your word cuts deep. And You're dealing, and lives are in the balance. And Lord, let us know each and every one of us are in the balance. We are choosing this day whom we're going to serve. And God, we're going to be married to someone. We're going to either be married to You or we're married in a sense to this world. God, help us to leave the cares of this world. Help us truly as families here tonight, as couples, to look into each other's eyes and to see the love of God and to set our affections on the things above. Help us to be bold in our homes, that we would want to follow after You. Help us to be bold in our homes to take the places that we need to take. God, encourage each and every life here. We know You're going to finish the good work which You've begun. We just ask, Lord, for us to be willing to receive the full counsel of God. In Jesus' name, amen.